Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. A beautiful, sunny day. I thought I could say spring was sprung upon us, but apparently not quite yet. Winter in our future. So go out and enjoy today, but wait until noon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Dory?
Wait until noon.
Wait until noon.
It will be a warmer day at noon, so it'll be a little bit better.
Dory Zook from WINA bringing her weather report with us.
Oh, sure. Why not?
What is the WINA weather report here on WPVC?
I have not listened to a weather report all day.
The weather report that I'm aware of here is nice, sunny, a bit chilly. Wear your coat that has a little bit of lining to it.
More seasonal for, I think, the next few days. It's been a couple days since I've paid much attention, but I know we're not going to have these balmy 60s when it should be winter for a while anyway.
Find your snow shovel or your checkbook for the plow guy if needed.
I live in Crozet, so I'm right next to the mountain, so a dusting, if they say a dusting, it might be a little bit more than that in my driveway, but we'll see.
And sit or do your chores inside and listen to what I think is going to be quite an entertaining hour.
It's a great hour for radio.
I really like this program. I've been doing this for 10 plus years. I lose track. I think I'm on year 16 or maybe 17. And this is one of the shows that, you know, when I'm like, come up with a topic and I'm like, ooh, I gotta make this happen. Repression of a free press. President Trump versus the media. And I have Dory Zook here to represent the media. So no pressure on you. Dory Zook, reporter and news anchor from WINA Radio, 2015-2016 AP Award for Best Radio News Anchor of the Year.
Well, little markets. If anybody wants to judge according to size. So
don't be slamming Charlottesville.
Thank you for the compliment. I've done a lot of things in my life, and I briefly taught. I taught for 3 years, and my colleagues let me know that I was not good at what I did. So to know that I'm not horrible was a wonderful thing.
But you know what? You're going to be pretty freaking awesome for the next hour here, too.
No pressure.
Because I'm excited to talk about this. Repression of a free press by the current presidential administration. You got 57 minutes. Go.
Oh, my.
No, really. So one of the quotes, there are many quotes on this topic from the presidential administration, and one of which is, the public doesn't believe you people anymore, meaning the media.
Right.
When you read something like that, when you hear something like that, do you get upset? Do you chuckle? Do you... what's your response?
Well, you know, I'm both a news anchor. I anchor. I cover stories. I'm a journalist, and I'm also just a Joan Q. six-pack. And I'm offended in both roles. You people, what is that supposed to mean? Just his hatred of the media. It goes back farther than just President Trump. There have been quite a few years now that right-wing radio, conservative hosts, have been saying bad things about the media. The term liberal media is nothing new. But now it's become absolutely toxic, a hatred of the media. And yet people still watch it. People still depend on it. If you're only going to target the networks, the big guys who aren't doing local news, You know, maybe you don't watch a lot of them. Maybe you hate the so-called liberal media so much. You don't watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox. Aren't you at least tuning into the local radio to get things like the weather forecast, like you're talking about? I mean, what we try to do, what I try to do, and every reporter I've ever known has tried to do, is a public service to keep the audience informed. We're trying to help you form your opinions with facts, and we try to do the best that we can. And most of us are very committed to it. We went into it because we care and we think it's important. And, you know, everything that you try to do being brushed off for reasons that are just his own in many cases. It's hurtful as a journalist, but as a person, I mean, I went into news because I'm a news junkie. We need to know these things. So who do you want to rely on for your information? You got to get it somewhere. You know, Twitter, you can only say what you feel on Twitter. What about the rest of the world? You need to find out about it somewhere. And I really don't fully, to be quite honest, I don't fully understand why he feels the way he does. There are a lot of things about Mr. Trump that I don't fully understand, and I try not to lose sleep over it. But a hatred of the media, when it's something that people depend on for a lot of different things, it's pretty frightening. And his treatment of the press in his first press conference after his election, I don't know. There are just times you wonder how long they're going to put up with it before there's some kind of an effort to maybe unite and say that we have to do our jobs. Even presidents who, you know, former President George W. Bush, President Obama, they've said, we had problems with the media, but we know that they're there for a reason, and they respected them in the end.
But you made a comment about where do we get our news mm-hmm. if we don't get it from the media. But the media has changed, or I didn't phrase that properly. But where we can get our news has changed, mm-hmm. even from when President Obama was in the White House. Does Joe Sixpack, Jane Q Sixpack, the person who might listen to the weather on mm-hmm. WINA or WPVC, that person may not need the local radio station, may not need the major stations for the news, as President Trump says, for anything else, right? Because they can go to the internet for who is saying something that they want to believe already.
Well, the internet isn't unique to itself. All of the traditional news sources are now using the internet as well. ABC, NBC, CBS, they all have their own websites. Newspapers have their websites. We have our website. So as far as it's about the source, you know, the internet is a means. The television, the radio, the newspaper, they're all a means. But they all use the internet as well. So I guess it comes down to the old Clintonism. That depends on what your definition of news is. So the media, the internet has changed news as far as speed and ease of accessibility, but there are still the same traditional sources. There are also new sources that a lot of people think of as credible that some people would say not quite, or it shows an incredible bias, such as Breitbart.
But isn't President Trump saying a truth when he says the public doesn't believe you people anymore? It may be phrased sort of, it may need to be tweaked a bit. But when he says the public doesn't believe you people anymore, what may need to be tweaked a bit is people don't believe you anymore because they believe what they want to believe and they go seek that out. People who don't believe ABC don't watch ABC, so they go watch Fox. Mm-hmm. People who don't believe Fox go watch MSNBC. People who believe what Breitbart says go read Breitbart. And so it may not be phrased well, but it has some truth in it.
But whose opinion is it that no one believes the press? Is it everyone or is it Mr. Trump's? There's a little bit of math involved there, too. Of course, he thinks it's not true, but there are a lot of things that he thinks and says that people can point out, well, that's not true. So it's hard to tell what everyone thinks. But just to give you an example, he also says that things are going terribly at the New York Times, but if I'm not mistaken, their subscriptions have actually gone up. So once again, you have to depend on the source. But you have a responsibility as a citizen. If you want to vote, then you need to learn who are the people running, what do they stand for, what are they about. And if you're only going to get your news from one place, you're only going to hear one thing. Even the most trusted, reliable source, you should never depend on one thing, especially when it's available everywhere. If anything, you can argue we have TMI, too much information out there. So for someone to be not fully informed because they're only going to one source for their news, well, they can't blame everyone else for that. It's your responsibility to become an informed voter. And it really is a tragedy when people depend on only one source to get all of their information. You know, a lot of people worry about only a few corporations running the vast majority of all news media, both at the national and regional and even local level. But it's up to listeners, readers, viewers. If you're only going to get your news from one place, you can't expect to hear everything. And so, you know, if you're going to blame it all, well, it's the media's fault because, you know, they're getting it all wrong. Well, I'm going to take that with a 5-pound block of salt if someone's only watching one network or only listening to one station. It's your responsibility to be fully informed. And there's more than one way to. There are a million ways to become informed in this informational age.
This is WPVC 94.7 Sunday morning wake up call. About 12 minutes after the hour, our guest today, Dori Zook. She's from WINA Radio. You're okay? Nobody at the radio station had a problem with you slipping over here for the hour?
Well, I told them. They know. They know I'm here. I'm not in trouble.
Good. Repression of a free press is our topic for the hour. Let's talk a bit about the White House press briefings.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been interested in going up there? I guess I should ask, have you ever been to one? Ever been invited to one?
Not at the White House, no. We're not exactly the big guns.
No.
So we won't be invited to the White House. But I've watched, it gets more than just a little testy. I don't think I'm telling you anything that you don't know. I think half of me would be angry. Let's divide it into three. I think one third of my aura, my personhood, would be ticked off at some of the way some of these things have gone. Part of me would just be in a sense of wonder, like, I cannot believe this. And then another third of me would be giggling, you know, trying to stifle my giggles at just how strange it has become in the White House press corps. Saturday Night Live does a good job with it. Let's just leave it at that. Melissa McCarthy does an outstanding Sean Spicer imitation. And that's kind of what it's almost become.
Do you think it's important to have them televised? Because in the past, I'm assuming at some point in time, they became televised. They certainly weren't always in time televised. Do you think it's important that they be televised?
I don't really have an attitude about that one way or the other. I mean, it's fine that it is. No one's forcing you to watch it. Whether or not it makes people such as Sean Spicer and Kellyanne Conway, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a wonderful thing. I guess I'm neutral on that. You know, it is a democracy of, by, and for the people, and you certainly have the right to see it. It's certainly something that shouldn't be hidden. But that's something that a lot of people have come to worry about. There have been rumors or conjecture that he's not going to have news conferences the way press conference, you know, used, not just Mr. Trump, but there used to be daily press briefings. And frankly, I'm not aware if there still are. But there was a great fear that they would just leave everything to Twitter from Mr. Trump. So far, we are still having press briefings. I don't think they're as bad as they were on the first day.
Well, they went a week. I believe it was only a week. I won't say that I did my homework every day,
right,
but I know that there was a week where they were not televised.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Spicer has been called, or I won't say that he has, but his role has been called the face of the presidential administration.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is not out there being the face of the presidential administration? What is his role? What is he doing? What is to be done if not stand up, answer questions, not just for the media, but for the people?
A lot of people have wondered if his isn't one of the toughest jobs, not in the U.S., but in the world. His tweet of President Obama wiretapping Trump Tower, the overall consensus is that they never saw that coming. And they're getting hit, you know, with things straight out of left field on a regular basis, and that leaves them scrambling on, now what do we do? I would never want to have to be Sean Spicer. I'm not sure I would ever want that job under any president, because you wouldn't be able to have a life. But Kellyanne Conway and Sean Spicer are in a very unique position, because Mr. Trump does do things that no one expected was coming. So his is a tough job. If it's something that if they have had them and they have been televised, it's scary to think that they will stop, because people are very worried about this administration not answering to the people if they don't want to, when it's expected that in a democracy, you do have to answer to the people. In fact, it's considered sacrosanct. Freedom of the press, it's in the First Amendment. It would be horrifying to think that they wouldn't have to answer to the press, you know, behind a podium when something has happened and they have questions. When people don't want to answer questions, well, there's usually a reason. And, you know, that's left a lot of people in the press worried. It's not as hidden as some people feared it would be, from what I could see. You know, they haven't turned the light off. But
freedom of the press, though, is different. And although some people have said, I mean, there has been conversation from the Trump administration about what the press can print, and mm-hmm. and arguments about being made, or I guess maybe threats being made about stopping mm-hmm. things and conversations amongst the people and the press about, you can't do that. That falls under freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that different than access? The press having access to the administration.
Rephrase that question. In other words, is the press going in directions they've never gone before?
Well,
because that's one thing that the Trump administration, for example, they're very upset about unnamed sources. And that's something that's been around a long, long time. And now it's considered something that makes things not newsworthy. Whereas in the, you know, Watergate came with unnamed sources in the beginning, too. And it turned out to be true. So it was something that was very important.
Again, our guest today, Dori Zook. She's from WINA Radio. What are the numbers there?
Well, we're now on 98.9 FM. You know, AM has kind of gone the way of the dodo bird, so 98.9 FM, but AM 1070 as well.
Dori Zook from WINA Radio here today on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. We're talking about repression of a free press under the Trump administration. President Trump versus the media, 11-19. Hang tight. And we're back here on a beautiful Sunday. Not quite as sunny as it was here in the studio.
It's a little inside joke.
Dori Zook here with us today. We're talking about the Trump administration versus the media. Just before we took that break, I was talking about the press versus the public. The Trump administration, meaning the Trump administration has brought out some points about what the press can print.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the point about use the two words that you...
Anonymous sources.
Anonymous sources, right. And whether or not that's allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's different than giving the press access.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two different things,
right,
that would are both fall under this repression of the free of the mm-hmm. of the media and the free press. So does one higher up the ladder than the other?
I know. I wonder if you're familiar with or aware of Alt-SNP, NPS. Have you heard of them?
I'll say no.
It's the alternative, you know, alt-right National Park Service. It's a great little story.
Yes, yes.
And there's a transparency issue right there. That's a door that swings. Anyway, I just thought it was adorable. I believe Shenandoah National Park was one of the original nine. And if people aren't familiar with this, after President Trump went to the head, I believe it was the Department of the Interior head, or maybe it was the head of the National Park Service. National Park Service is under the Department of Interior. And he was convinced that his was the biggest, most tremendous turnout for an inauguration ever. And he asked for pictures to back it up, and the pictures told another story, that Mr. Obama's 2008 inauguration was much larger than President Trump's. And he put a muzzle on several different government departments, the EPA and the National Park Service. They were not allowed to say
right. Nobody
anything.
Was nobody was allowed to make Facebook posts. Nobody was allowed to send out Twitter
yep.
Stories, nothing. Anything.
Nothing, honey. And a few days, and very brief, not long at all thereafter, they did set up their own Facebook page. It's like, you can't tell us. Now, they're all anonymous. We don't know who they are. They are going to be represented at the Science March in D.C. in April. But you can't tell us what we can't and can't do on our own time. So I believe the original number was 59 individuals who work at the National Park Service in roles that they will not disclose. And they have their own Facebook page. I think it took about 4 days and they had 1 million followers. They're now selling bumper stickers. I'm sure I'm going to be looking for them the next time I go up to Shenandoah National Park. I have an annual pass. I thought that was a... That was something we've never seen something like that in our lifetime before. So the Trump administration snapped a muzzle on the National Park Service and they said, oh, really? And they started their own Facebook page and their own little independent movement. And they're posting things all the time about environmental measures that are being looked at or acted upon by the Trump administration, talking about how bad it's going to be, not just for the National Park Service, but for the environment as a whole. So it's something that's very unique to this administration. Things are being done in secret. They complain a lot about the leaks. Well, they're clearly coming from within the White House. We've never seen anything like this before. And it makes you wonder, who are these people? I guess they haven't been found yet. It's a very strange mystery, something we're not familiar with.
When we talk about repression of a free press, and I asked the question about whether or not it was rules being overlooked or rules being changed or transparency. Mm-hmm. One of the current things being discussed is Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is apparently not allowing journalists to travel with him on his upcoming trip, I believe, to Asia. He is not making his schedule public as well. And there are few, if any, State Department press briefings at this point. And so the argument being made is that this should not be allowed because Secretary of State Tillerson works for the public.
Right.
And some of the conversation going on is that if he's not allowing the journalists to travel with him, they can
not pay report.
Their own, they can pay their own way and go. But then if something happens in their attempt to go along and follow the news, see what he's doing, may they get arrested. Then they're not part of the United States envoy.
In the past, did they actually travel in the plane with him? I'm not sure. With the Secretary of State
Clinton or...
I believe so, but I want to make sure.
I would say yes, although you're certainly welcome to call 434-284-9470. There's always a caller out there who knows more than I do.
Because if the accessibility was a matter of... The tradition, the practice has always been, and I would assume it's a little bit more of like a pool agreement, because you can't get everyone there. If that's what happened before, I can't imagine why flying in a plane behind them. If he's not going to let you access him in the airplane, I highly doubt that he's going to have a podium and a microphone and can meet with you every day and tell you, answer your questions. I don't know.
And now it appears that he's going
kind of horrifying to be blunt
and private.
Kind of horrifying to be blunt, if that's allowed.
And so he can meet with anyone he'd like and talk about whatever he would want.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not making his travel plans accessible to anyone. And so he can go, leave when he wants, do what he wants, come back and tell everybody what little he would like.
Has he said why he's doing this?
I can't answer that question. Mm. That's not something that I picked up.
You have to ask someone, why do you feel this need to hide what you are doing?
So again, would you say that that falls under repression of a free press from the Trump administration?
It's certainly a lack of transparency. And I think, yeah, it sounds like repression to me.
Does transparency fall under, does lack of transparency fall under repression of press?
I would think so. It's like a different flavor, but it's the same food, if that makes sense. It's vanilla chocolate. They're both ice cream. It's like the Washington Post. Now, when you go on their website or you buy a copy of the Washington Post, it says democracy dies in darkness. And I think if in the past you had a press pool that was on the back of the plane and you were in the front, and all of a sudden now you don't, I would call that darkness personally.
Again, Dori Zook with us today. She's from WINA. We're talking about President Trump versus the media. It is 11:27 here on the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. You're welcome to call in, whether you have knowledge to provide, such as our question about Secretary of State and whether or not there was a press pool that went with previous Secretary of States on their travels, or whether you have a question or a comment, a question for Dori Zook. Let's keep it related to today's topic and not about all her awards and what she did on award nights. But if you have a question or a comment about today's topic on free press versus President Trump, feel free to call in. Dan is out there ready to answer the phone and patch you through. 434-284-9470.
My question now is if people can feel my blush radiating from the speakers to mention the awards.
I know, I turned
bright red, didn't I?
We turned the blinds down to lower the sun, and now it's much brighter in here again.
Like solar power.
But, you know, there's another part to this. Does the media have any responsibility in this? There was an article that I believe my notes that I took, a Time magazine reporter tweeted that a Martin Luther King bust had been removed from the Oval Office. And that was incorrect. Apparently it was just that he couldn't see it from his view.
Mm-hmm.
But the news got out there that the MLK Jr. bus had been removed. And of course that spread, everything was put out there about, you know, the damage that Trump had done. He was an awful man, for those who voted against him or, you know, didn't want him in the office. And look, just another proof of point about what an awful person he is. And then it was like, whoops, sorry, made a mistake.
Yeah, whoops, big whoops. Yeah, I would have asked if it was gone before I would have said it's gone. Always a possibility it's been
moved. That's a problem
somewhere
that I have with tweet, is you don't get that.
Yes.
You don't get a chance to think and question and,
yeah,
you know, before you send it out there.
Yeah, too much too soon.
Yeah.
I personally, I do not tweet. And you know what? I don't follow anyone's tweets.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't admit that. But, you know, we have so many balls in the air when you're working in a commercial radio station, any kind of a radio station. You're always a multitasker. And, you know, there is so much information out there You have to pick and choose where you're going to focus, where you're going to spend your time and attention, because there's only so much any one lump of gray matter can handle at a time in any given day. But, you know, of course, we all see Mr. Trump's tweets. If you're if you follow the national news, and we follow local. My job is obviously primarily local news. But as a news junkie, I'm just going to be honest here. Typically, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I reach over and get my phone and go to Google News for a few minutes and then go back to sleep. I know I should probably get a more exciting life. But tweeting, there are times you wonder if maybe you should just do away with it completely, because so many horrible things are tweeted. And now the question is, Mr. Trump is using his old Android phone that he's been using for quite some time now that is incredibly susceptible to hacking. Can you imagine what would happen if someone would figure out a way to tweet in his name and wreak havoc, depending on what they would tweet? That's a pretty scary thought for me. Maybe that's one good reason just to not tweet. No one could ever do that to me because I'm not tweeting. But that could ruin someone's reputation. And for someone to have tweeted that a statue is missing when it is not, that's a tragedy. But, you know, should they be fired for that? Or should it be a matter of, my bad, let's correct this? You know, mistakes can always come back to haunt you, but, you know, it's not like something that was done on purpose to foul someone. That was very embarrassing because that makes all reporters look bad to a degree.
Which goes to the public doesn't believe you people anymore.
But how many other mistakes can you name right now off the top of your head?
The Cubs win it back in 1980.
Oh, that's, sport.
Dewey wins.
Oh, the newspaper?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that also a matter of the deadline passed and they printed it? And you know, it's not like...
And Clinton was going to win all the polls said Clinton was going to win.
Oh, my. Yes, all the egg on all the faces. Or to quote Larry Sabato, I have an omelet on my face.
Yeah.
But who was saying that? Was it the media or was it the Larry Sabatos and the others? Did the press make a mistake by reporting what they said, which was inaccurate? Big difference. You know, you really can't compare Larry Sabato and other people's predictions compared to a reporter saying the statue is missing when, in fact, it was just out of his line of vision and he didn't ask first. So those are really two different animals. And everyone's mind is still kind of twisted on how that went. And that really is kind of another topic completely, you know. The whole people are wondering, how did this happen? How did this happen? And that goes far beyond the press, you know, what people were looking for, what they were frustrated with, why did it go against everything, or at least much of what we thought would happen. But obviously, you know, the press arguably did play a role in that. Where were people getting the information might be a question that would be considered about people who voted for Trump instead of Hillary Clinton or one of the other candidates.
11:33 here, Sunday morning wake-up call. We're talking about repression of a free press, President Trump versus the media. Our guest today, Dori Zook from WINA Radio. You're welcome to call if you have a question or a comment, 434-284-9470. Or you can just listen to us chatter back and forth. Dori, I want to find out your initial reaction to when you hear the phrase alternative facts.
I guess that explains it right there, doesn't it?
It does.
Alternative facts.
I like that.
Well, you know, I've used this argument a time or three. Not liking something doesn't make it less true. And I guess that's where alternative facts come from. You know, you can't just make up the truth. And there are two facts, either true or fake. And to say alternative fact, then that's not a fact. That's just my opinion. And, you know, let me state, I don't care what political stripe the source would be. Anyone who's going to talk about alternative facts, no. Accuracy, truth, transparency, that's not a partisan issue. That's just news 101, representative government 101. There has to be honesty. And I would say the same thing if Hillary Clinton had been elected and things she didn't like came out and made the light of day and she called it an alternative fact. I'd say the same thing about her. That's just wrong. Thou shalt not lie. And I don't think Christianity's Ten Commandments is the only place you'll find that little nugget. You know, and it's, you know, to call something an alternative fact. I mean, that's, I guess that's their way of CYA. I don't know.
Do you think is the media held responsible in any way for not using words such as lies?
This, boy, that's a tough one, because you don't want to burn your bridges, but you don't want to be so sweet that you don't let the truth come out. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head of some of the terms that I've seen instead of saying, you lie. You know, we remember that quote during a State of the Union address. And I can't think of them, but I've seen a couple instances where, you know, the anchor on CNN or in any other place didn't say, use the word lie. Maybe just say, that's not true. But, you know, you always have to use good manners. You don't want to burn your bridges, but sometimes you do have to be blunt. And I can't think off the top of my head any time that any anchor or reporter has said live, that's a lie. Can you? I know George Stephanopoulos and Kellyanne Conway, I can't remember her full name, but I know Huckabee is, you know, in the first of her two last names. I saw a video where George Stephanopoulos and this person were really having an interesting battle. And she was saying things that were not true, and he kept, again and again, that is not true. That he did not say that. He did not say that. And I've never seen exchanges like that until now.
Without mentioning a name, mm-hmm. I won't put you in that position, but have you had a similar situation happen locally?
Fortunately, well, I know there was an instance in which someone chided the media, and I mean, I can name the name, it's the public record, but I will say when Jason Kessler filed his case to remove Wes Bellamy from office, my colleague, Jay Hart, he covered his news conference. And I was at the courthouse in case, you know, in the past, a group called Surge, Stand Up for Racial Justice, and Jason Kessler had been at loggerheads, and it was not pretty. So he was at the news conference, and I was at the courthouse just in case it might become kind of a double story. And I know from Jay, but I was not there, but he said that Mr. Kessler said some very negative things about the press. I know, too, though, when he was at the courthouse this week and he had learned the day before that he did not have enough signatures and the case would be dismissed without prejudice, meaning someone could try it again. He went up to one of my colleagues, a male broadcasting television colleague, and called him something that can't be said on the radio. He went to a print journalist and said, you're lazy and you get all of your facts wrong. That's really the only instance that I have seen in which someone talked about the press not knowing what they're doing here in this town. Thankfully, I hope it's something that we don't have to run into on any kind of a basis, quite frankly. But that's the only instance I'm aware of, or the only individual that was two instances.
Dori Zook is our guest today from WINA Radio. She is the 2015-2016 AP Award winner, Best Radio News Anchor of the Year. Feeling lucky to have her here today to talk about repression of a free press. President Trump versus the media. Hang tight. All right, we're back with you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. This is 94.7 WPVC. We're so lucky to have them as our host on the Sunday morning wake-up call. Dori Zook, thank you so much for being here on a beautiful Sunday.
It is. A lot of blooms. We haven't had a frost or snow come and kill the blooms.
Yeah,
Keep your fingers crossed.
Wait till Monday night or Tuesday.
Check your
weather. Mm. Whether you check it here or, you know, everybody's welcome to listen to WINA if they'd like. We were talking about the gentleman that you mentioned, mm-hmm. talking about lazy media. Our friend, and I say that in a totally untruthful way that I don't mean, Steve Bannon, mm-hmm. President Trump's friend, said the media has zero integrity, zero intelligence, and no hard work. What is it like to be a full-time member of the media?
It's hard work. I do it because I love it. But what's the old saying? If you do what you're if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that is true to a certain degree. I'm not complaining because I do love it, but it can be very hard work. Think back to when we had the Jesse Matthew case. It was very emotional, and it is, it's hard work.
And Jesse Matthew being the gentleman from the Hannah Graham case, and the young woman from
Morgan Harrington.
Morgan Harrington, right. Thank you.
You know, we would be putting, you know, 10, 12, 14-hour days, some of us, not all of us, when they had the news conference announcing that they had found the body. On a weekend, you know, I was off having a life, and I got a call from Chris Callahan, and I live in Crozet, so I often go over into Waynesboro to do my weekend shopping, and, you know, the adrenaline, pew, you know, you're like a bullet out of a gun going back, getting your equipment ready to go. It's hard work, and a lot of times people, you know, will ask, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this or not, but I'll just be blunt. No, I'm not sitting around and listening to our signal all day. I'm working. So there are a lot of times that what goes on over the airwaves, I'm aware of a good amount of it, but not all of it. I can't sit and listen to what we have on the air because I'm too busy interviewing someone, then pulling the sound bites, writing up the stories. I've got these newscasts that I'm doing. I have to record teases. We have to get it all on the internet, da 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 da. So it's very hard work. Very hard work. I'm not complaining because I love it. But to think we sit around with tea and crumpets would be quite inaccurate. We do work hard.
Where's your line of integrity?
Well, depending on what do you mean by that question?
Well, Steve Bannon says you have no integrity because you're a member of the media.
Well, I would agree to disagree with him.
So if you are doing an interview, okay, so let's continue talking about the Hannah Graham and Morgan Harrington case, Jesse Matthews. So you must have done some press issues, some press briefings. Is that the proper term? With, at the time, Seville Police Chief Longo. Right? Where would you identify integrity in that case? Do you just sit there and gather the information that is released by Chief Longo? Do you elbow somebody out of the way to try and go, you know, gather your own individual question for WINA?
It was a unique situation with that case because we had the national media descend upon us. And something you learned really quickly, if you didn't know already, is that a lot of them have really big egos and they take freedoms that we do not take because we are not going to burn our bridges. I've used that term before. What some people may not know, well, I think people do know this, the courtroom is tiny. And when you have print, radio, television, and in the broadcast, all of their technical bells and whistles, live trucks, microphones, podiums, all of this, it was a zoo. And as you know, the courtroom is small. And my hat is off to
What makes you think I've been in the courtroom?
A history buff? Taking a trip? Yeah. I have, you know. I mean, I went the other day because it accidentally let my auto registration run out, but that's another story. I actually saw Robert Tracy while I was in there. It was kind of embarrassing. But it was, you know, my bad. But what Lee Catlin did, who is the communications goddess, I'm not sure of her technical title, but what she did is that she spoke to us all privately and said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to have the line to get in the courthouse over here. But you work here. You live here. Our first responsibility is to our local audience, and that is you. We are the means that give you the local news and have for years and always will. So she actually had one representative from each, only one of us, so there weren't two people from the paper. It was just one. And when you're a three-person news team, that's not that difficult. You know, sorry to her, the two other, it's not like you'll have a half dozen people that are trying to get in. But she had one representative from every local media outlet. And we were guaranteed a spot. And so what we were to do is, and you know, it's past tense now, so I'm allowed to say this, but she told us all privately, I'm going to be over here. That's where the line's going to be. Go ahead, get in the line. But about 15 minutes before, just go ahead and wander over there, and we're going to let you guys in first. And then the few seats that were left was whoever was first in line. And that, they thanked us many times, Chief Longo, Miriam Dickler with the city, Lee Catlin with the county. They thanked us for acting professionally. For example, when her body was recovered, it was out on Old Lynchburg Road, and they were asked, the press was asked by the police, don't go here. The networks, they just took their cameras and they went wherever the diddly that they wanted. I'm not using swear words. They went wherever they wanted. They did whatever they wanted. In the news briefings, there were questions that were either rude, stupid, repetitive. We didn't ask them. We're not going to, it's like, you people want to go ahead and you want to do that? Go ahead. We'll get the sound bites off of your question. We were not going to do some of the things that the national press did.
But that sounds, so while that makes the local news sound great, it makes the national news fall a bit into Steve Bannon's verbiage.
But they got their facts straight. They got their facts straight. There was one instance, and it was the same Saturday that I took off over the mountain to get to the county police headquarters. There was one gentleman from Fox, and he was very angry that he didn't get the information that he wanted. He wanted, you know, he asked first Denise Lunsford, the then Commonwealth's attorney for the county, will you be pursuing the death penalty? And she had stated, you know, these are the charges. And he hollered out to Chief Longo, well, guess what? He's the chief of police. He's not the Commonwealth's attorney. That's not his call. And, you know, I just have this visual image. He was sitting right behind me, and he bellowed out that question so loudly. It's kind of, you know, just picture someone's hair blowing forward and, you know, pencils going out in front of them, you know, and papers flapping from the just the breath of his question, you know, belting through the air. And he later said in his live shot that Denise Lunsford became almost hostile when she stopped answering questions. No, she didn't. She firmly but professionally said, I can't take any more questions. Thank you. And walked away from the podium because people kept asking the same questions over and over again. And it was kind of pointless. And some of them were questions that she couldn't answer. I was surprised to think, you know, I came this close to turning around and said, oh, bless your heart. Is this your first trial? Because a Commonwealth's attorney or a DA, wherever you come from, whatever you call them, they're never going to give you evidence information. They're going to tell you what the charge is. And if you sit there and try to ask, well, did you find DNA on her pants? What makes you, I mean, you only have to watch a couple of episodes of Law and Order to figure out they're not going to try the case in the press. That was the only incident that I saw in which I would have questioned his facts. Now, you can call it perception. I personally don't think that she was hostile. She firmly, but professionally, and I think it was just fine. I can't take any more questions. Thank you. One of the first things on the news release was, I can take questions, but I'm very limited in what I could say. And one of the first things she said when she came to the microphone, I will be able to take questions, but I'm very limited in what I could say. Made her statement, took the questions, and people kept asking questions that obviously she was not able to answer. It's not because she didn't know what she was doing. It's because she knew what she was doing. And, you know, he said that she was hostile. I don't think that she was. He wanted to get more information. I thought she did an absolutely fine job of giving out what information that she could to not jeopardize the case, to keep the public informed, but to protect, to get a conviction. That is really the only incident. Mostly it was a matter of aggression, just being too big on the streets, asking people, you know, getting a lot of man on the streets, maybe MOS, as we call them, sound bites. Oh, how do you feel about this case? At one point, I was out getting reaction from students on grounds, on the corner, actually. And I quickly figured out they don't want to talk about it anymore. And I got two people who wanted to talk, and that was enough. I stopped because I knew they'd had enough of us. And I had what I needed. They were, especially the camera people, they were more assertive in going out and getting video where we could more easily withdraw. We had enough file footage of this city and all of the other things. And we didn't feel the need to get in people's faces to the same extent that they did. They also have a lot more time to fill. If you're looking at something like, you know, a cable news network, they've got a lot of time to fill. That's one of the beauties of radio, frankly. I mean, if I woke up trim and young and gorgeous tomorrow, I would not want to go into television because I think it is too obstructive. You know, we can just be very much in the background. We can put our teeny tiny little audio recording device on the podium and just go to the back of the room, take notes, ask a question or two, and very quietly when it's over, just yoink, take that little thing, just a little bit bigger than a deck of cards, and then go back. And that's one of the things I like about radio. It's not as obtrusive as a television camera. And I obviously print would be much the same way. You can be very quiet, not interrupt, and let the story unfold and not be out in front of people. You can be kind of almost undercover. And that's one of the reasons I prefer radio.
11:52 on the Wake Up Call. A few minutes left with our guest today, Dory Zook. We're talking about the free press and President Trump versus the media. Oh, Dory, it's not a new poll. For a long time, a number of years, Republican voters have had a lower approval rating of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly President Trump won his position through voting from the Republican side. Why do you think that's the case, that Republicans have a lower view of the media?
I think, look, this is just my opinion, but there are a lot of other people who would agree. I think the popularity of conservative talk radio has had a lot to do with people's perception of the news media and their respect for it, because people like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and others have for quite some time now complained about the media and used the term liberal media. And it's something that's just been said so many times. And it's just my opinion. But I think there are a lot of people who would say that a lot of people have talked about how conservative talk radio has done a lot of different things in the public sector about people's perception of the media. It's not the only one, but I know it's something that people have looked at and talked about.
What are your thoughts on, we talked early in the program about Sean Spicer and his role, sort of transforming the way that the press briefings have taken place and doing something that has happened before. I think it's called a gaggle, but intentionally leaving out specific units and telling CNN, no, we're not inviting you, and the LA Times, nope, you're not welcome. What are your thoughts on that?
It's incredibly dangerous, and it should not be done. It's kind of like if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. When you run for president, you know that's going to happen. And if you can't handle that, you have to ask yourself, why did you take this job? Why are you keeping this job? Democracy dies in darkness. And I want to state this once again. This is not a partisan issue for me. The fact of the matter is Donald Trump ran as a Republican and he won the White House. And Republicans, his primary base of support are people who identify, if not Republican, at least as conservative. I would feel the same way if the Lord on high came and ran for president. And the LA Times ran an article that he did not like and tell them that they cannot be there. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. That comes with the territory. It comes with the job. The First Amendment, the Fourth Estate, there has to be transparency and the press has to be there. Democrat, Republican, independent, anyone, I would say the same thing no matter who is president.
What about Charlottesville City Council? What were your thoughts? You talked about doing this locally. Charlottesville City Council did some things in the not too distant past that were considered to be not transparent.
Right. You need to get Chris Callahan in here sometime because he is the walking encyclopedia of this entire city and city council.
And Sean Tubbs is on next week with Charlottesville tomorrow. And he and I have had some conversations about this.
Yeah.
But was that, did the media have some issues with that?
And what are you talking about specifically? For example, that they do not have interchange with the speakers anymore and that they can cut them off?
And that they were doing some, making some decisions in the back rather than in out front in public.
Because that is not my, what I do is I read the stories that Chris left for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't think that some people might say, well, then what right do you have to talk? Look, we can't all cover every story. And so Chris Callahan is the one who goes to the city council and the board of supervisors and the school board and all these public meetings. So he would be someone who would be able to say much more than me. I've wondered about this, though. I know one of the things, and someone sued the city over it, Joe Drago, is that the mayor can cut you off. My question is this. It is live streamed. TV 10, I believe it's called. There are words that you know full well we cannot say on the air. So I wonder if that might be one of the things they're doing as far as cutting off the microphone. But if that was the case, there would be a way that you could cut off the microphone for the broadcast stream. But people in the building, could you still have, you know, they're in the room for city council where people could still hear it over the microphone, I would think. You know, of all the technical wonders, you would probably be able to answer that more than me. You know, I have to wonder if maybe that's part of it, but that's nothing that they've ever talked about. But I know for a fact that if something is streaming on, no matter how low the signal or what the format, if it is broadcast, there are seven words that you cannot say, but there has to be a way that you could push a button that would keep it from broadcast, but would still keep it on speakers within the room. And I've wondered out loud with that with another reporter, and they could fix that if they wanted. But
it's called modern technology.
Yeah, you know, I've heard about it. So... Yeah, certain things certainly will always have to be done. If there are personnel issues that, you know, you don't want to have in public record. But if it's something that should be discussed in public and they didn't, they need to be taken to task for it, certainly.
All right, we got about a minute left. Mm-hmm. Fake news. Do you think that really exists?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it exist on both sides?
Good question.
By both sides, I'm assuming everybody knows what I mean.
Right. Well, one thing that may not be considered fake news, but a lot of people think it is, and that's memes, fake memes. There are so many people that get their news, and I think the audience can know that I'm using the air quote. A lot of people go on Facebook and see these hilarious or disturbing or angering, all sorts of different emotions, memes on Facebook. That's not news. You always got to back up the source.
Well, I think too many people get their news by going onto Facebook and just going straight down the line.
Yep.
And whatever has been posted, whether that's because their friend posted it, or whether it's because that's just in the mainstream of their Facebook, and that's where they get their news for the day.
And that ain't news.
Yeah.
Some of it might be absolutely factual, but never assume. You know the old saying, that way you don't make. Never assume. And a lot of people, I am convinced for a lot of people, their news source is memes on Facebook and other places, and that's not news.
Dori Zook, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Dori Zook, WINA radio reporter and news anchor. Will you come back sometime in the future?
Absolutely.
I love putting people on the spot like that. Nobody's going to say, no, that was a waste of my hour. Next week, Sean Tubbs will be here. We'll be doing a lot more local conversation with Sean Tubbs. Thank you so much. Enjoy your Sunday.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.